Well, as has been made clear already, it's an exciting morning to be a part of a baptism service. It's always a good morning, and it's a good opportunity to look at some scriptures that talk about baptism, and that's what Myrna just read there is a text that talks about the water and the blood and the Spirit found in 1 John chapter 5. And so this morning we're going to look at baptism, and Baptism Sunday is always a great opportunity for all of us to kind of do some of that internal, as what Myrna talked about, spring cleaning. As we see Cameron's going to make this commitment, it's this time for all of us to think about our own commitments and be reminded of, if you've been baptized, the baptismal vows that you at one time were up front or in this church or another church and said, or possibly you're in a situation where you haven't been baptized and you think, maybe this is something that God is calling me to. So it's a good opportunity to really look at that. So this morning we're going to talk about baptism. And this sermon is for all of us. This is not just a sermon for Cameron, because he's the one that's getting baptized this morning. This is for all of us to allow Cameron's morning here to minister to all of us. And so it's a good morning. This is just fun to be a part of. Now, in 1 John chapter 5 there, John is talking off and on. He says there's three different things he talks about. He talks about the water, he talks about the blood, and he talks about the Spirit. And he interweaves those together in this text. And so we're gonna focus and look at those three things: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Let's start with a prayer. Dear God, we pray that this morning can be a significant morning for all of us. Lord, we know it's significant in the life of Cam, and we thank you for him taking these steps. But Lord, it's significant for all of us, because it's a chance for us to look and see where we're at personally. How are we living up to the vows that we made? Or is it time for us to make these vows ourselves? And so, Lord, as we examine our own lives and our own spiritual walk, Lord, I just pray that this would be a time where you can minister to each of us through this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things, and Cameron, you probably heard most of the sermon already, because we've been meeting together. And one of the things that I remember I asked Cam, and I've asked a number of different people that we do baptism class with, is, here's a question just to think about: what's the difference between getting baptized on a Sunday morning and taking a shower? What's the difference between taking a bath and getting baptized? What's the difference between going outside and having the rain hit you in the head and getting baptized? You guys probably can formulate some answers to that question, and Cameron and I had a good time discussing that, and it's a good one to think about. Because, well, you can think of differences. Okay, one's in a church, you don't usually take a shower in a church, and you know, one you dress up, and you know, there are some differences. But the question we want to get after is, you know, is there something special about this water? You know, John talks about the water in the text here, and we're going to use water to baptize Cameron. Is there something special about this water? Does this water do something special? Now, there are traditions, Christians, brothers and sisters around the world that would say yes. There is a such thing as holy water. There is water that's holy. In our tradition, that's not what we ascribe to. We're not going to argue with people and say, oh, you're wrong if you think it's holy water. But what we teach is, no, the water is just water. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble here, but we filled this up in the spigot before the service. And if we don't dump all this on Cameron, can you want all that, Cam, or a little less? If there happens to be any left over, we'll just dump it out. You know, we'll put it down the sink and it'll get washed away. It's just water. So why is John talking about the water? What's so important about the water? And you guys are smart individuals. I'm sure you can put this together. The water is a symbol. The water is a symbol of something much more important going on. The water is another quote that I've heard, and people would say, is it's an outward symbol of an inward grace. It's a symbol of something on the outside, of something that's happening on the inside. An outward symbol of an inward grace. For when you get baptized, that when that water hits your head, or if you're dunked, when you get dunked, that is not the initial time when all of a sudden Christ enters into your life. Water is a symbolism of what's already been happening. If Christ has already been coming into your life, you've already committed your life to Christ, you've already said, I am following after Him, I'm giving my life to Him, and as a symbol of that commitment that I've made, I want to get baptized. And I want the whole church to see it. It's kind of like a way of telling the whole world, of saying, I am a Christian. This is where I'm staking my claim. I'm not something else. I am a Christian. And the way that Christians from when John the Baptist baptized the first person on for the last 2,000 plus years, the way that we of Christians have put that stake in the ground and have announced to the world that we are in Christ's family, that we are a child of God, and that we love God, and that we are committed to Him, the way that we do that is through baptism. It's through coming up front and going through that difficult ceremony. It can be stressful, and coming up front in front of people, they say speaking in front of people is one of the top fears of all human beings. But we do that. We go through that by saying, that's who I am. I'm going to go through this difficult thing because I am a Christian. I'm following God, and I'm giving my life to you. And I think that's why the testimony part is so important about baptisms, because people have a chance to share that testimony of saying, this is what the baptism symbolizes to me. So that's why that time is so important, and that's why the time is so difficult. So you guys can all say a silent prayer for Cameron, because it's a nervous, difficult thing to come up here and share like that. And so, Cameron, you're surrounded by loved ones. They're not going to judge you on what you say. It's like a big family in here. So symbol is an outward symbol of an inward grace. Now, symbols are good, but symbols can also be dangerous. Symbols can be dangerous because they can be easily misinterpreted. They can be easily abused. And it's easy to go through the motions of a symbol. Now, this is where I want to speak to all of you guys, whether you're baptized or not, is to think about this. Because as I think about in my baptism, I was baptized when I was 12. And I think I was a little too young. I know. Because I didn't understand the symbol at that point. I don't want to tell my whole testimony here, but at that age, I didn't know what it meant. Now, we never fully understand the symbol of it. We can never fully understand God's grace. But I think that's why it's appropriate to get a little bit older. We believe in adult baptism, to get to a point where you can know what that symbol means for you. It's easy to go through the motions. And even though you may have been baptized at one time, it's easy for the significance of that symbol, that significance of the what you went through, what Cameron's going to go through this morning, what you went through. It's easy for that to kind of wear off and become something in the past. Now, this is something that Cameron and I did, and we've done with a number of different baptism classes. We're going to pull out a couple Old Testament verses here. Leviticus 26, 40-42. I have them written down here. You don't have to try to turn to all of them. If you want to, you're welcome to. Leviticus 26, verses 40-42. This is God speaking. But if they will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors, their unfaithfulness and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile towards them, then I will send them into the land of their enemies. Then, when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and pay for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. Verse 41 there says, then, so after they confess their sins, then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they will pay for their sin. Now, parents, you might want to, earmuffs here, circumcision, okay? That's the Old Testament symbol of being a Jew, of being one of God's family. In the New Testament, it's baptism. In the Old Testament, it was circumcision. If you were a part of God's family, you were circumcised. That was the symbol. Same, pretty much all the same things. It didn't, what did it mean? It was a symbol of something else. Jeremiah 9:25-26. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the wilderness and distant places. For these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Now we'll flip to the New Testament, Acts 7:50-52. And if you remember, this is Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr, the first person who was killed for his faith, and this is why he was killed, what I'm about to read. He stood up and gave a testimony for God, and he accused the people that were torturing him of this very difficult accusation. Verse 51 says, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And then jumping to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, says, the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So what we can see here is a pattern in the Bible, a pattern of what we'll call symbol abuse, a pattern of symbol abuse where God's people went through the symbol. They did the necessary action that God required of them to do. But God says, you know, the action is important, and I've asked you to do that action, and I appreciate you doing that action. But doing that action to your body and not doing that action to your heart does you no good. It does me no good. If you have a circumcised flesh, an uncircumcised heart, that's not what I wanted. And the same thing can be said of us. Many of us have gone through the baptism. Many of us have got wet. But did it get all the way into the heart? Has your heart been baptized? Or have you just gone through the symbol? Were you too young and you didn't quite understand it? Or maybe you were on fire at the time you did understand it and it was great, but it seems like the passion has died off and you no longer seem to understand what you understood at that day. The symbol is important. Because that's what Jesus asked us to do. Jesus said, go forth, baptize people, and make them disciples of all nations. Make them disciples. Baptizing the heart is the most important. You know, if he would have just cut off the thing, go forth and baptize people, you know, the Great Commission would have been a little bit easier. You know, we could just buy a bunch of fire trucks and start hosing people down. Say, you're baptized. But he said, no, make them disciples. Disciples. And that's what we talked about last week, is how the importance of discipleship. Has our hearts been baptized? Or do we fall into the same pattern of our ancestors in the Old Testament, where they went through the motions, they went through the action, but the symbol didn't take in the heart where it's most important? And I think that's the challenge for all of us. Have you been baptized? Have all of you been baptized? And if you did it get to your heart? And if you haven't been baptized, why not? Why haven't you gone through that symbol? Why haven't you made that declaration that Jesus asked us to declare? Why haven't you gone through that symbol? It's important. Jesus asked us to do it. And if you have committed your life to Jesus already, like I said, the baptism doesn't mean, the water doesn't mean, now you're a family, part of the family of God. It's a symbol that you've already made that commitment. And if you have made that commitment, why not be baptized? It is important. And as I said before, there's danger in baptism. And I think one of the greatest danger is that we can see our baptism as the end all. We can see our baptism as the end of the road. Is that once we've been baptized, then we've arrived. Then we've gone through the symbol. Then we've done all this. And I think we're tempted to do this once we become a member of the church and we're baptized and we're like, done. Check that off the list. Well, baptism is a beginning. Baptism is a beginning. This, as Myrna was talking about, this is a time of growth. And in spring we see things growing. And over the weekend I bought a whole bunch of little trees, just real little saplings. I mean, I paid $1 a piece for them. And as I was putting them in the ground, you're just thinking, these things are just starting to grow. But at this point, their life is so fragile and just starting, and they need to be watered, and they need to be weeded, and they need to be looked after, and they need to be cared for. And that's what discipleship is that once you baptize, you enter into that life of weeding and caring and watering and looking out for each other. And that's what we as a church have a responsibility for Cameron, is when he comes up here and commits his life to the Lord and to the church, we have a responsibility to be watering, to be weeding, to be caring for the soil. And that's what discipleship is. We all have that responsibility for each other. It's discipleship is the beginning of a lifelong commitment. And I think we're tempted to hide behind it. We're tempted to think, okay, I've been baptized, I'm safe. I'm the member of a church, I'm safe. I'm a member of so-and-so church, I'm a Christian. That doesn't necessarily have a one-to-one correlation. Now, when I read the Bible, I never see anywhere Jesus saying, when we come face to face with Him, when we die, or when He comes back again, There's no recollection of Jesus saying, okay, were you a member of a church? Were you baptized? Give me the date of your baptism. He's not asking for those things. He's going to ask for what those things symbolized. He's going to ask, as in, if we want to go back to the text, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commandments. If you want to know, then this is what Jesus is going to ask. What did you do for me? What did you do for my fellow people? What did you do for my other family, for my children that are either in the church or outside the church? What did you do? And this is what baptism symbolizes. Loving God, loving others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the essence of baptism, because that's the essence of Christian life. It's not just going through the motions. It's not just getting your head wet. It's loving God and loving others. And we need to get back to our baptismal vows and ask ourselves, am I living out what I committed to in that day I was baptized? And if you haven't been baptized, you've got to ask the question, what's keeping me from doing that? What's keeping me from taking that step? Now, I want to talk a little bit about the blood and the spirit. So we've talked a lot about the water. And John also talks about the blood and the spirit. You know, there's this interplay between the three different things, the water, the blood, and the spirit. Now, in the biblical paradigm, in the biblical worldview, the blood is the life. The blood of someone is the life of someone. And science actually proves this correct, too. You know, without blood, none of us live. That's what takes the nutrients to all of our... So the Bible, the biblical authors didn't really have that scientific understanding of blood. They saw blood as a life source. That is the very life of our veins. And if you're losing your blood, you're losing your life. And that's, you know, that's the biblical worldview. And so when John starts talking about the blood, he's talking about our lives. Our lives need to be baptized. Our heart needs to be baptized. The water needs to symbolize what's happening in the blood, your whole blood, your life, your very life source. What gives you air, what gives you breath, what delivers nutrients to all around your body, that must be baptized as well. And then he talks about the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we could talk a long time about the role of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is basically God among us, God working among us, how God speaks to us, how we hear His voice, how He leads us, how He protects us, how He guides us. Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He assures us of the forgiveness of sin. The life and the work of the Holy Spirit is active, and that's how we experience God. That's how we know God, is through the Holy Spirit. And what John is saying here in chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. I'm going to read these. 1 John 5, 7 to 8. And there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. The three are in agreement. The water, which is the symbol. The blood, which is your life. And the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Must be in agreement. They must be in alignment. And if you go through the symbol of baptism, if you've been baptized, but your life didn't change, your blood, your life source wasn't baptized, then it's not in agreement. Or if you went through baptism and you don't live by the Spirit, you're not in alignment. What John is saying here is when you go through, all three of these are crucial. You can't have one of the three or two of the three. You got to go three for three, 100%. When you come forward, and when you're baptized, and when you live out your baptismal vows your whole life, your blood, your life source must be changed. And the way that change happens is through the Holy Spirit working in you. I think we all fall into the temptation of thinking, I've been baptized, I'm a Christian, I have my life, I need to change my life. And you go from there. Well, that's only two things. You can't do this on your own. You can't just go change your life. You can't just pluck the sin out of your life and say it's done. You can't just become a better person. That only happens through the work of the Holy Spirit, the third actor in this play. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit gives us the assurance of salvation and the assurance of forgiveness of sin. The Holy Spirit enables us to have victory over this world. That's what it says here in verse 4. This is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that comes over the world, overcomes the world? Only who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the only way that we overcome the world. Not by our own efforts. Not by being a good person. Not by eradicating our own sin out of our own life. It's only through the work of the Spirit. We need all three in alignment. So again, this is the morning where we can all revisit our baptismal vows. We can all receive the challenge that if you haven't been baptized, maybe the Spirit is tugging at you. One of those actors is at work, and that Spirit is saying, why don't you give your life? Why don't you go through the symbol and have all three? The Spirit might be pulling on your heart right now. So the challenge for all of us is, have we gone through the symbol? Are we living out the symbol? And are we living out the symbol out of a reliance on Christ through the Holy Spirit? Are we trying to do it on our own? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the assurances that you give us in your word, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that your Holy Spirit will guide us, will give us the words to speak when we need to speak, will tell us to be quiet when we need to be quiet, that you offer us salvation, love, joy, all the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, right now I just pray that you give Cameron the assurance as he comes forward and he'll be speaking and going through this symbol. And Lord, we just pray that this seed that is growing in him, the seed of faith, will continue to grow and strengthen and become a full fruit-bearing tree. And Lord, right now as we move into this time, I pray that we can all examine our own lives, our own baptismal vows, our own spiritual walk, and see if there's alignment between our life, the blood, the symbol, the water, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.